All right, Matthew chapter 5 this evening, Matthew chapter 5. Gentlemen, I am aware that we have had three sermons for the men so far and one for the ladies. I am keeping count. I'm glad to see that you are. Just hang in there. Hang in there. We'll get to everything you hope we get to. Or you could just deal with it before you come, and then we wouldn't have to preach on it. So, amen. All right, we'll cover all these things, Lord willing, by the end of the summer. But this evening, I want to read to you from selected passages from what is known as the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6. And we read these chapters, and they're full of instruction for our practical living. But they're also full of passages about our Father, the prayer that we're told to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And starting in Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so it is a tremendous thrill tonight to have a heavenly Father. Amen. And to be able to say that God is our Father. But what I want to do this evening is ask and then make some application. Sir, if it's so great to have a heavenly Father, wouldn't it be great for your children to have a father who is like him? And wouldn't it be great for, if we're not going to change the Bible, our parent which art in heaven and all that modern silliness. But it would be great if every child had a father and a mother to look up to who was like God instead of a contradiction of God. And we really don't want to be telling our children that you ought to follow God and follow the Bible and live for the Lord and then not do so ourselves. It's not very convincing, not very powerful. So I'm going to show you some things about God from these chapters this evening, and hopefully we can apply them not just to our raising and training of our children. I didn't say parenting. I am too old. I am not going to ever turn nouns into verbs. I can't do it. It aggravates me to no end. I have a marriage partner, but I'm not partnering with anyone. We're not partnering together in the ministry, and I have more pet gripes than my wife has pets, and that's a lot. So anyway, I can't get with this modern, all this modern generation. But anyway, the Bible says here at chapter 5, verse 16, your Father, which is in heaven, we ought to glorify him. And so let's pray together. Lord, help me tonight to be a help to the people that have assembled here together in your name. And we sure thank you for the joy we've had in singing your praise together. And what a blessing that choir song was to our hearts. And help us now tonight to benefit, profit from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. So Jesus Christ is the Father manifest in the flesh. He said, Philip said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So look at the very next verse, 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if Jesus Christ is the equal of the Father, and he is, and Jesus Christ, the equal of the Father, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he did. As equal, co-equal with the Father, he certainly had the power and the authority to do his own thing his own way, if he determined to do so. But he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. In fact, he said that he did always those things that pleased the Father. So if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, if I'm going to be like Jesus Christ, a Christian, Christ one, I'm going to be like Christ, I will not make my own rules and my own regulations and come up with my own manner of living. I am going to obey the Father's commandments, all of them. And notice Jesus said in two places, it's not just, it's really, I want to get the wording just right. He said, whosoever shall teach and do thee, he said, I want you to do what you're teaching, and I want you to teach what should be done. And so God doesn't want you to be a father who has rules contrary to Bible rules and has a way of living contrary to the Bible way of living. But we also don't want to be someone who teaches and enforces the rules and then doesn't practice those rules and carry out those rules. Take a look again in verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. It's not ours to determine who's saved and who's not. The Lord knows that. He's in charge of the rapture. If it happens tonight, he'll take everybody that should go and leave everybody that shouldn't go. That's his province and his responsibility. But if we see someone teaching people to do something that isn't so, it isn't biblical, it isn't righteous, it isn't true, we're going to say that person is not fit to stand in a pulpit, that person is not fit to lead a Sunday school class, that person is not fit to direct a single youth activity. You can't be teaching your own thing and doing your own thing. You've got to be teaching and preaching the Word of God. Well, if that's true in a church house, it ought to be true in our own houses. Amen. Amen. It starts on the first day of the week. God says every Christian assembles together on the first day of the week. Is your family being taught that by precept and by example? Bible says on the first day of the week, let every one of you give to the work of the Lord. Is your family being taught that by precept and by example? We are to love one another. We are to lay down our lives one for another. We are not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Those are all Bible principles. That's the first thing on the first day of the week. We ought to be showing our children our true fidelity to the Word of God by our obedience to the Scriptures. Then Monday rolls around. Are we a different person when it's not a church day? Do we have a different vocabulary? Do we have a different way of living? Do we have a different way of acting? Do we have a different set of principles and rules that we live by? Do our children see us acting one way in the church lobby and another way in the store? Do they see us acting one way in the church parking lot and another way on our job? It ought not so to be. And so we want to teach these things, but we want to do these things. And that's what our Heavenly Father does for us. When Jesus Christ came down to earth, He didn't say, I don't have to keep the law, I'm the Son of God. He came down to earth and kept the law because He was the Son of God. And so I'm the dad, I don't have to go by the rules. I'm the mom, I don't have to follow the instructions. No, if you're going to follow Christ's example, you keep the instructions and you follow the instructions so that others can learn and know how to do that very thing. All right, now come down to chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus says, ye have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I like that. That's pretty good. I could handle that. But I say unto you, uh-oh. So here's a great principle for the rest of your life. If you heard something and Jesus said something different, you need just ignore what you heard. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard. Well, I was told. Well, this guy said one time. Well, I saw this video. Yeah, but what did Jesus say? So you have heard that you love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be, here it is, the children of your Father which is in heaven. Aren't you glad you got a heavenly Father? For He maketh His Son, it's His, didn't evolve, it's His, belongs to Him, His Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now how about that? So we had several months of drought around here, and then just a few weeks ago, the rains returned. And it didn't just rain on saved people's lawns. It rained on lost people's lawns. And when the sun comes up in the morning, it doesn't just light the way for born-again people. It lights the way for everybody. Because our Father in heaven bestows His blessings upon and is good to all men regardless of how they treat Him. Amen. So, sir, you're not a good dad when your kids are good. You're a good dad all the time because you're the example of God. Mom, you're not a good example when your kids deserve it or they earn it or they're treating you the way you want to be treated. No, you're Christ-like, godly all the time. God's character never changes when I'm up and down. I fluctuate. I have good spiritual days and rotten spiritual days. I have days devoted to the Lord and days that are pretty carnal. God never changes. He never changes. And the challenge, husband, wife, the challenge in particular, parents, is to not be changed by the circumstances or the treatment. One day, my wife, she'll have a bad day. It hadn't happened yet, but one day she's going to have a bad day and not treat me perfectly. It sooner or later, it's bound to happen. That's not an excuse. Well, you did this to me, so I'm doing this to you. You talk to me like this, so I'm talking to you like that. God doesn't do us that way. He doesn't do us that way. And so He calls upon us to notice in that 44th verse, sometimes you get cursed, and sometimes you're used despitefully, and sometimes you're persecuted. And Jesus said, I want you to love those people. I want you to love those people. Now, again, I don't want to overuse this example, but I probably will, but you don't get treated great at work. You don't get treated great in the marketplace. You don't get treated great by strangers. You don't even get treated too well sometimes by your neighbors. And your children watch, and you just take it. And you take it politely. And you say, that's okay, can I give you some good news here about Jesus? And then you get in the car and you don't get good treatment from the back seat and it's not the same reaction. You don't get good treatment from the passenger seat and it's not the same reaction. And the Lord says, I want you to treat everyone with the love wherewith I treat everyone. And that really, really ought to be working in our homes if it's going to work anywhere. 46, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What's perfection? It's being able to treat other people better than they treat you. It's being able to treat other people properly, in a godly fashion, even if they treat you improperly in an ungodly fashion. That's the real high calling there. And the Lord would have that established, that and practice that in our homes. Okay, third, chapter 6, verse number 1. Take heed that you not your alms before men to be seen of them. That's your giving to God and the work of God. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. That's a little extreme, isn't it? Da, 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 da. What? What a trumpet. Is this the Lord coming? No, I'm going to give. Just give. Give to God, don't give for show. But people do that. He said, verily, I say to you, they have their reward. But, verse 3, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Watch now. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, I'm not going to talk about giving, really. It's not about giving. It's about a principle, and I want you to understand this principle. Our Heavenly Father requires service. But He rewards that service. Now, if you want your children to become bitter and resentful, make demands, have rules, give instructions, lay out the chores, and as soon as they finish, start in with another set of instructions and another set of chores, just skip the whole reward part. You know, wouldn't it be nice to go to work and just get a thank you, an I appreciate that, a good job, a way to go. Right, Brother David, wouldn't it be nice just once in a while to get something like that? And, right? Kyle ain't saying a word. He's like, I don't know how much liberty I got here. But really, I know the boy is supposed to cut the yard, and he better get the yard cut. And he did get the yard cut. Could we mention it? Good job. Way to go. You really manning up there? 17, got the whole front yard done? Wow. You know, you... Young lady, here's your list of chores for the day. Okay, that's good. That's good. There they are. When they're done. That's it? How about good job? Way to go? Yeah. Hope you enjoyed this. You got another 60 years of it? You know, it's just come on, a little encouragement. A little appreciation. A little reward. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to get those tracks done. Verse number 5. Let's try this. Verse number 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets. They may be seen of men. This fellow one time in town, he's a lawyer in town. You'd think all lawyers be as smart as Brother Jake, but they're not. And so this guy was trying to get street preaching outlawed. He's a lawyer. Working to ban First Amendment free speech rights on public sidewalks in his town. That's some lawyer. So he printed out this pamphlet. He thought he was a smart boy. He printed out this little pamphlet, and it had Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, about hypocrites praying in the streets to be heard of men. And he's given those out, and he walked over and gave me one. He said, I dare you to read this. Well, you didn't have to dare me. I'll read it. So I read it. And he said, what do you think? I said, I think you're stupid. Not sure what the Portuguese word is for stupid there, sis, but it's good to have you here tonight. I said, you're stupid. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not praying. I'm preaching. I'm not talking to God. I'm talking to you. Yes. You're going to hire somebody to take you to court. Make sure they can read. So anyway, they have their reward. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. All these clothes and shoes and stuff we got nowadays really hurts the prayer life. It's... Can't hardly get in the closet. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know, people just repeat the same prayer over and over and over again. God calls them heathen. For they think they should be heard for the much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Now watch carefully here. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, so that's great that they call that the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a prayer the Lord taught rather than... So I'm not going to find total fault with that. It is a prayer that belongs to the Lord that he gave to his disciples. But here's what I think is really great. Our Father who art in heaven, then he really runs the whole universe. Right? I mean, he's, the entire thing is under the realm of his government. And yet, he's got time for you to talk to him. So you got your car and you got your job and you got your overtime and you got your boat and you got your hobby and you've got your Facebook group and you've got your girl lady friends to call on the phone and you, yeah, okay, but can you stop all that when your kids want to talk to you? Can your empire be put on hold just for a minute and hear their voice when they come to you and approach you? God, praise God, He runs the whole universe, but when I, His child, want to talk to Him, He stops and listens to me. Okay, Dad. You're God's representative in the home. You better stop. It's godly to stop. It's godly to take time. It's godly to pay attention. I'm just here to provide for him. God provides for me. Look at this. Give us this day our daily bread. I've never thanked the Lord. I know I was born in America. I know I had good parents. But I've never had to ask God for food today. He's always provided food for me. See what he said? That's right. I want you to be in the... don't you ever get out of the habit of remembering where it came from. We pray and thank God for every meal. We pray and thank God for every meal in public. What are people going to think? I don't know. You lost a contact? They don't. What are you looking for? I'm not ashamed to thank God in front of a waitress or some other people eating a meal in a restaurant. He gave me, look at that, not just bread, meat, veggies. Praise the Lord. God's been good. Don't even ask Him for bread and you get three courses. Can't wait to get home for a snack. Lord's been really good to us. But the point I want to make is your children, they shouldn't have to beg you. We don't have to beg God. Their daily bread should be provided. They used to call men the breadwinner. The breadwinner. You know what the communists did? The communists taught their children that the government provided their bread. They'd have the children pray in the classroom to God and ask God for food. They'd take this passage, ask the children, pray and ask God for food. And when the children open their eyes, lift up their heads, there's no food. And then they said, now ask your government. And when they say, can we have food? Then they bring the food in and feed them. Mocking God. Turn people to government. You say, that's awful. That's communism. I hope it never comes to America. More than half your country does that now. Man doesn't earn a living with God's help, put food on the table. He waits for the government to come put food on the table. Come on. Your Father in heaven feeds you. You going to be a father? Feed your kids. Feed your kids. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. God's children ought to reverence him. A man's children ought to reverence him. I'm not old school. I'm Bible. I'm Bible. I'm right where all men were when my grandfather was, well, if he'd have lived to be my age, my grandfather, my great grandfathers. I'm just telling you something. There ought to be some reverence for a father. There ought to be some respect for a mother. I don't get this modern generation, man. I see little kids back-talking their parents, yelling at their mom and dad, calling them by their first name, all this. That's not, well, I just want to be friends with my kids. You can do that when they're 30 and you're 50. Right now, you're supposed to be our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Little dignity, little respect. Amen. I mean, how far you want to go with this? I just think a man ought to wear clothes in front of his kids, even in the house. walk around like you just got out of the locker room or something. You think I'm old school? I'm just telling you. You want to respect you? Be respectable. Don't be rude to your wife. Don't you talk that way to your mother. You talk to her that way every day, says the kid in his mind. When he's old enough, he'll say it out loud. Come on, reverence your father. Have respect for your father. That'll be a man you can look up to. That'll be your kid's hero. Jesus, dad. Well, girls, Jesus and mom. I don't want no Superman, Batman, quarterback stuff in my house. Yeah. Why? I don't want my kids adoring people they don't even know.
Yeah. That's good.
I want them wowed with me. Wowed with their mother. Hey, but my mom's the greatest. Well, you ought to see all these women on TV. Well, no, let's just let them look to mom here. Yeah, we're doing okay. I've never heard anything like this before. I know. It's all right. It's all right. That's why you come. The shock value. But he says here, thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I mean, honestly, how long would the list be of things God would have to forgive me for today? A week, a month, a year. Glad I got a father who doesn't hold grudges. Glad I got a father who doesn't keep score. Glad I got a father who doesn't hold things over my head. Come on, sir. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten 13? Have you forgotten 17? My kid. Yeah. Call your dad. Hey, Dad, just got a question. 17, was I the greatest? 17, was I as wonderful as I remember? Probably not. Probably not. I sure am glad the Lord doesn't hold me in a debtor's prison. Because I sure am in debt to Him. And he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know what God's never going to do? Now, I gotta go out in the world, and the devil, the roaring lion, the enemy of my soul, is seeking to lure me astray into sin and filth and wickedness. It's all over the world out there. But my heavenly Father has never set a liquor bottle in front of me. My heavenly Father has never set dope in front of me. My heavenly Father has never set a lewd woman in front of me. Praise the Lord. You representing God in your house? What are you sitting in front of your family on that screen? So I wouldn't let anybody come in here and try to talk my kids into drinking. Yeah, you would. Yeah. Through the cable.
Yeah.
Through the internet feed.
Yeah.
Through a telephone.
Preach.
Well, you know, I trust my kids. Really? Sir, when you were 16,
yeah. Go ahead.
If you had a device that would let you look at anything, would it have been a good idea to trust you? What do you think? Your kid doesn't have a sin nature? If he's your child, he's Adam's child. If he's Adam's child, you don't want to be setting before the eyes of your children things that you don't want them involved in. I don't know how all these kids, the kids end up. I guess eventually they end up knowing well the cuss words are. I don't want to learn them from my lips.
Right.
And I don't want to learn them from the lips of people that I allow in my home.
Yeah, very good.
whether real people are piped in or satellited in people or cabled in people or however this beast thing works. Amen. Hallowed be thy name. He's righteous and holy. He's unwavering. And so he doesn't lead us into temptation. You ought not lead your children into temptation. You ought to lead them in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake and make it as easy as it can possibly be for them to live a righteous life. All right, verse 17. Let's go to where are we going next. Chapter 6, verse 32. Chapter 6, verse 32, and then we'll back up to 25. It says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So the time is going to come when your son will have to buy his own groceries and his own clothes. And you're training and preparing him for that time. But until that time, he should never have to wonder, will I be fed? He should never have to wonder, will I be clothed? My heavenly Father said, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. I got you covered. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. I have you covered. You're going to bring children into the world? That carries with it your personal responsibility to make sure they never have to worry about the necessities of life. Amen. You will provide those things for them. And people say, well, you know, God will provide for my family. No, sir. He told you to do it. He told you to do it. And so God does that for us. We're supposed to do that for our family. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So what does the Lord do? He puts beautiful clothing on plants. He provides just the right amount of food and nourishment for the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. That's what our Heavenly Father does for us. So what are we to do as the living representatives of our Heavenly Father in the eyes of our children, training them to one day trust God as we trust God? We're to provide them with the food that they need and the clothing that is required, and they should never have a thought for it. They should never have a care for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you children, you ought to, when your family bows their head and thanks God for that meal, before you put one shovelful in your mouth, you ought to thank Dad for earning it and thank Mom for cooking it. Because you got it made. And God wants you to have it made. And then you become a man, you become a woman, then you allow somebody else to have it made. But for right now, Mom and Dad in the place of God, providing for you. And they're supposed to thank God for the provision, and you ought to thank them for the provision. Amen. We got a good marriage. We got a good marriage. I got a good wife. And every meal I sit down to, I thank her for it. Yep. Amen. Every time she does something around the house, I thank her for doing it. What am I? What? I don't deserve that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And if I ever do something for her, she'll thank me. That's... But honestly, we just go around acting like we're entitled to stuff. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you do for me in my life. Thank you, Lord, for giving me all of this. Well, we couldn't look this way and do that every now and then. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, dear. Yeah, it'd go a long way. Go a long way. A little appreciation. Okay, chapter 6, verse 34. Chapter 6, verse 34. No, I'm going to save that one for last. 6:33 and 7:6. 6:33 and 7:6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Chapter 7 and verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So that's 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I got to be careful how I say this. And when I'm careful about how I say something, we're really out there, because normally I'm not careful at all. If your child can make every church service, read their Bible, devote themselves to the activities that the youth workers in the children's church and the youth workers in the Sunday school department assign them, and still play soccer, go for it. But you're skipping God for soccer? That's not a good way to go. Now, I don't know who plays soccer. I only said soccer because my brother-in-law was all district soccer player back in, the picture's black and white. That's a long ago. But there he was in the newspaper. Newspaper? Yes. It was a thing. If your daughter can become, listen now, if she can become the greatest violinist that the world's ever known, without missing church and skipping Bible reading, wonderful. But you got to set God aside to do something else and be something else. That's those choices that you, that road is not where you want to go. Road's not where you want to go. Remember talking about America, you know, America, Hollywood. Hollywood's a mess, and the government's a mess. But I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere along the way, millions of grandparents dropped out of church because their kids didn't want to go. And the next generation, other millions and millions of people dropped out of church because the grandkids didn't want to go. Now you got all these people running around saying they're Christians, and they don't even go to church, much less live for God. And all that is somewhere along the way, somebody made a choice. God's getting in the way of this. We're going to go with this, not God. And I don't think those are good choices. Don't think those are good choices at all. Amen. All right, so, and then chapter 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Let me see what I got here. I gave away my $20 Ukrainian bill. Imagine what that's worth today. So I got 26 bucks here. I wouldn't give it to a pig. I mean, I'm going home tonight and see somebody got some pigs in their yard. I'm not going to stop and give them this $26. I wouldn't do it. And that's just $26. If I had 10,000 in my wallet like some of you guys do, I sure wouldn't stop and give that to pigs. Why would you give your precious children to the swine of this world? I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. This garbage music, this garbage entertainment, these garbage people, these garbage fashion designers. Why are you tossing your children to the pigs? Don't throw your most valuable treasure to swine. Look what it says here. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now here's people, I guess you'd have to spend some time on the farm, but that pig has a certain nature about it. If you offered that pig very valuable offerings, it would treat you just the same. It wouldn't treat you any differently because you gave it something valuable. You think if you sell out Jesus and give your kids to the world's going to treat you any different?
That's good preaching.
The world's the world.
Yeah.
I just want people to like me. I just want to fit in. I just don't want to be the oddball. I don't want to go to that church. The people, you know, they work with, they make fun of the church I go to. And okay, so you quit serving God. You think they're going to suddenly crown you with many crowns? Swine are going to do what swine do. So I'm going to live for the Lord. I know how He's going to treat me, and I'm not going to live for the world. I know how the world treats people. And I want to make sure and pass that along to the next generation. Okay, here's a verse that I'm going to end up with tonight. Chapter 6, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. And we're not going to push that out of its context. For the morrow, take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, so here we are tonight. It is June the 1st. Whoa, it's June the 1st. Your new century is a quarter gone. Pretty amazing. And it's already after 7 p.m. And you know what? Next week, tomorrow, there's going to be car wrecks, job losses, bad doctor reports, funerals. You know what you ought to do? Today, you ought to find some way to enjoy your family.
Amen.
You ought to find some way to enjoy your church and your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
There's so much rotten stuff going on in the world. Well, why hang out there? Why park there?
Yeah.
Got a wife? Love her? Got a wife? She put up with you? Got a husband? Love him? Got a husband? Put up with you? You got kids? You prayed and begged God for kids? Now you got kids? And all you want to talk about is what Congress did?
Yeah.
All you want to do is sing the blues about inflation? How about enjoy it? How about say there's going to be evil in every single day, but look what God's done for me today. Look what God's given me today. Look at the life that I have and the home that I have and the family that I have and the church that I have. And I'm not going to try and squeeze every bit of complaining and negativity out of a day. I'm going to try and squeeze every bit of joy and gladness and good things out of a day. Praise God. I know everybody's wired differently. Well, you know, you're a glass half empty or a glass half full person. You got a glass. There's something in it.
Amen.
Enjoy it.
Amen.
Don't go home and spend all night watching other men's wives on screens. Go home and spend some time with yours. Don't go home and watch other men do marvelous things. Go home and watch your husband and imagine he's doing marvelous things. Got kids? I'm going to tell you something, man. They're going to be gone so soon. And they might be gone a long, long way. And they might be gone for a long time. They may get a job in a place you've never heard of and you don't want to go. They're home now. They're with you now. Skip the news. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's all bad anyway.
Yeah.
There won't be a headline tomorrow morning. 917 airplanes landed safely.
Right.
Well, boy, let one go in nose first. That's news. Amen. Every single day, you ought to enjoy members of your family. Just figure out some way to do it. Some way to do it. It's kind of interesting. There's all these commands in the Bible. Do this, and most of us don't get them done, and don't do that, and most of us probably do some of them. But then every single week when it begins, the Lord said, how about we all just get together? How about we assemble together on the first day of the week, and you just sing praise to me, and you hear about how good I've been, and you enjoy my blessings. Kind of interesting. I mean, really think about it. Right now, the whole world's going to hell. The Lord said, yeah, but I want y'all to come in here and sing. Everything's falling apart. The Lord said, yeah, I know, but let's just praise the Lord and rejoice together and have a good time. The house of God is a place where we come to get away from all the garbage. And rejoice together in how good God's been to us. Our home shouldn't be a place where we get more garbage. It should be a place where we get away from all the garbage and rejoice in all the good things that God has done for us. Come on, we said this morning, your house, God's house, your house. Let's make our house like God's house. Praise the Lord. All right, so we have a Father in heaven.
Yes.
We can trust Him. He loves us. He hears us. He provides for us. He's good to us. He forgives us.
Amen.
He gives us good in even in the most evil days. And brother, sister, God wants you to be that to your children so they can learn about God. Learn who He is, come to know Him, and to trust Him. All right, Heavenly Father, bless Your word to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, be more serious, conscientious about our home life. Be more like our Heavenly Father in all of our ways. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name and amen.